Welcome back to IndyCan Radio, your front row seat and backstage pass to the best of North by Northeast. This week we have a Western Canada focus. An organization called the Canadian Independent Recording Artists Association has put together something called the New Indie. This is a great behind the scenes. We'll be previewing that. But first, live at IndyCan, been waiting for this for a while, Dan Mangan.
My name is Dan Mangan, and I'm in the studio with John Walsh. Say hello to the people, John.
Hello, people.
John just said hello to the people. We're going to do a song called Sold, and it goes like this.
One, two, three, five. Well, I thought the suits had come for me. Found alternatives to honesty. Body and soul were bought and sold. Patented and out of reach. So I reach, but it hurts. It kills and it screams and it fills my heart with chills. And I take my pills, but I'm still tired of sleeping with the light on. But if it keeps the hair out of my eyes, pack it up and send it home. For just one step at the good life, that's enough. And I sold. I gave up all my richer thoughts. Left them out for the less fortunate. Now at the gate, I'll skip the queue. Life's not living unless you're sure to make it through. But now it hurts, it kills, and it screams, and it fills my heart with chills. And I take my pills, but I'm still sleeping with the light on. And if it keeps the hair out of my eyes, back it up and send it home. For just one step at the good life, that's enough. And I sold, Lord, I'm sold. Oh, go on, pack me up, I'm sold. 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 Go on, pack me up, I'm sold.
This is John Walsh, and you are listening to IndyCan Radio.
As you've heard, I have with me in the studio Dan Mangan and his really cool bassist, John. And let's set the stage. At the time of recording, it's North by Northeast. It's 10:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. which I pointed out was 7:30 Vancouver time. But you guys have been on the road a long time. That doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, we drove from Vancouver to here in Toronto, and boy, are our arms tired.
We tried wheels before. That didn't work.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say you may have played more gigs in Ontario than in British Columbia this year so far?
I have done a lot of gigs in and around Southern Ontario this year. It might be dangerous to say that I've played more in Ontario than BC, but I have made my way around, and I've probably played about as many gigs in Australia as I have in Canada this year. So it's kind of a cool point. But
right. And last night, let's talk about last night's show.
We played the Fun House, as we like to call the Fun House.
With the Umlaut.
Yeah, the Umlaut. And it's a big, empty hip-hop bar. And we filled it with folk music. And it actually, it turned out that we had this giant like mammoth security guard, a bouncer from the down, you know, and usually these are the least responsive human beings in the world when it comes to the band. And he came up afterwards and he had bought a CD and he asked if I'd sign it. And he was so excited and he said, that was so great. You know, I think, you know, and I don't know what he said, but it was hilarious how this, you know, kind of big, atypical, like hip hop bouncer guy came up and was just totally into it. And it was a surprising gig and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, there are genres of music that I wouldn't say I hate, but I dislike. Mm-hmm. But if it's a compelling song, you just can't help yourself but go, wow, that's cool.
And every genre, I think, has its high point, you know? It doesn't matter.
Sure. Absolutely.
Like, I think to just generally say, I don't like, you know, blank type of music, I bet somebody could find something in that genre that would really knock your socks off. So, the cream of the crop in any genre is going to be amazing. So.
Absolutely, because it all starts mm-hmm. with an acoustic guitar and an idea anyway.
Yeah, a lot of
singing. I mean, metal does.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Everything does.
Yeah. It all comes from that you know, same simple source, I guess.
Or a piano. Sorry, your keyboard players out there.
Chopping. Anytime I think of writing on the piano, I think of that Dana Carvey SNL thing where he's chopping broccoli and he's you know, D minor, the saddest of all keys.
Now, you were here also for Canadian Music Week, and there it was The Reverb, I think it was.
The Reverb, which was also another...
BC Montreal, BC Music...
That's right, yeah. Music BC did a showcase, and they had a bunch of bands from British Columbia playing. And that was another example of a big, loud, kind of gregarious rock room with a heavy metal band downstairs. And here we are playing our folk music and trying not to be overpowered by the noise coming from through the walls.
But. Yeah, you're the one-off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, we have folk in BC, too. Here you go. Yeah. Put your hands together, everybody.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of looking at us funny, but...
But if the crowd isn't into it, you go get them, right? Like, you'll just walk into the stage, onto the floor.
He's in habit of doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, there's certain things that sort of like, maybe it's a youngest child thing, but, you know, when people aren't paying attention, you just you know, put your underwear on your head or do whatever it takes to kind of, you know, draw attention in.
The other day he faked the fire on stage. Yeah. Yeah. Right in the middle of a song, he goes, oh my God, did you see that? You see that? It's on fire. It's on fire. Because we had a big, you know, ton of people in the back just yakking their heads off and everybody was trying to listen. It was a good tactic, actually.
Yeah, it was funny. It suddenly got everyone's attention for about 2 seconds. Yeah. And then they went back to talking.
Even the people who were watching that knew that nothing was going on.
Yeah.
Or looking over their chairs.
Yeah, what am I missing, right? You know? Yeah, maybe you're onto something. It'll become as cliche as, Toronto, how you doing? Let me hear you.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, Nipissing.
Oh my God, it's a fire.
Yeah.
Sale.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Dan and John, how did you two get hooked up?
Actually, it was through...
And I mean that in a musical sense, of course.
Of course, you know. Of course. 2 weeks on the road, I mean, of course.
Yeah. A platonic, tonal, musical sense. I played a gig with a very good friend of ours named Mark Brube, who's a great artist, and he's living in Montreal at the moment, and I asked Mark shortly after that... you know, if he knew of any bass players that could go on the road and tour and stuff. And John had been at the gig and, you know, he had enjoyed it.
So. I had actually solicited Mark for Dan's number
no
to be
kidding.
His bass player.
No kidding.
And then months later, Dan asked Mark if he knew any bass players. So
It's not only bass, but your voices work great together, too.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thanks. Really? Yeah, it's a nice touch.
Nice to have a guy who can keep rhythm and sing at the same time. It always boggles me. I don't know. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of like rubbing your tummy and mm-hmm. having your head or something.
And it's different than playing guitar.
That, yeah.
It's very different than playing guitar and singing. Trying to play the bass and sing has always boggled me. But.
Boggling with me too. Yeah.
Continues to. This song is that we're going to play, the tune is called So Much for Everyone. And... the other one went like that, and this one goes like this. This
As much as I'd like to go to places I've never known, scared shitless to leave home. And I don't want to go alone. And I miss the rewarding gaze of a friend from my younger days. Didn't mind about my selfish ways. As he died, I was miles away. And I hope he remembers how, as I do when I look back now, though he'd bark at the slightest sound, would not bite, for he knew not how. Oh, oh. Sometimes it's more than clear when morning comes early here, and I know that the day is near. Wasted days make for wasted years. Now I'm vicious with appetite and sobering half a mind, dripping with stolen wine, woken by something I dreamt, harbored by everything I have been witnessing, in postcards and daydreaming, get less embarrassing after the day is done, and I will be on the run. And so much for everyone, so much for everyone. The showdown is endless here under the burning sun. As eyes roll toward me now, I will drop my gun. I will drop my gun. I will drop my gun. I will drop my gun.
The Vancouver music scene, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Vancouver is an interesting place. I mean, it's the most beautiful city in the world, I'm convinced. And the music scene is small. And went through, you know, a period of I think there was a lot of spite in the scene. It was kind of like everybody was just at each other's throats. And this last couple of years, there's a lot of great bands, a lot of really talented people coming out of there, and this kind of new vibe. There's a new kind of very supportive situation going on where there's a lot of great bands and everyone's helping each other out. And for Vancouver, that's a revolutionary thing to do. You know, it's a very kind of battle of the bands type city. And, you know, it's kind of nice to, you know, we've been on the road playing shows with bands like Said the Whale and Hey Ocean, and you know, there's a lot of different bands, and they're all just good people. And even though we play totally different music than each other, you know, we can all support each other and just kind of be what's the word? One big, happy musical family.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I've gotten the sense, like a few years ago, where it was kind of genre specific, right? Mm-hmm. We're cool, they're not. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, not, you know, like it is a small town. You know, yeah. It's a big city, but the music community there is a small town.
Absolutely.
And you really need to work together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's, and, you know, it kind of happens all the time. You have to leave Vancouver, you know, go get signed somewhere else or go figure out, you know, your kind of stuff elsewhere and then come back to Vancouver and then you get reclaimed.
As,
you know, Lady Hawk and Black Mountain and, you know, all these guys, they had to leave to get, you know, that big push and then they came back to Vancouver and then, you know, all of a sudden they're selling out shows in Vancouver, whereas before they went away and went down to the States and stuff, they weren't, so.
Now, let's see if we can jog your memory and tell the listeners about how you and I met and what it led to.
Mm.
It would have been North by Northeast a couple of years ago.
I think it was probably 2 years back, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And you made the fated statement to me. I was telling you about this radio show in Toronto covering the Toronto indie scene. And you said, wow, I really wish we had something like that in Vancouver. And I said, really? How much do you wish you really had something like that in Vancouver?
That's right, yeah.
And then, well, let's have you tell the rest of the story. You knew Tom.
Yeah, well, we had been in touch about the podcast, and you said, well, you know, I'm coming out to Vancouver anyway. Why don't we do an episode out in Vancouver? And speaking of, you know, other supportive Vancouver bands, Tom plays in a band called Lotus Child, and he also has, created this incredible studio and, invested and reinvested and has come up with a pretty, pretty sweet setup. And it's called Vertical Studios in Vancouver. And I suggested to Tom that he have Joe in, and you guys did an episode out of...
We did a couple. Yeah, I went there to do one, but thought, wow, that went smooth.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Let's do a few more.
Yeah. And again, great. You know, music community, right? Mm-hmm. He just, you know, dove in and
he jumped
them.
At it, yeah.
Yeah, that was really great. And so that's how the first ever non... Like, I'd covered Vancouver because everyone comes to Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
I'd had the Flares in and Jason from Super Being and, you know, just, you know, everyone gets here eventually. But I wanted to really do the scene, right? Get there, you know, feet on the ground, going from... club to club to club. I think that's all of them now.
yeah.
That's what's left, yeah.
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 You, there's club to club, and then there's a cafe, and, you know, that's the extent of it.
And that's it, yeah. And I could sense they had this, you know, for some of them who hadn't spent a lot of time out here, this Torontopia feel that, you know, they hear about, you know, North by Northeast, 50 venues, right? 500 bands, and wouldn't that be great? 50 venues we could play every night.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true in Toronto. You're going to exhaust your audience if you try to play even weekly.
I think the amazing thing though about Toronto is that you can drive an hour in any direction and be in a new town. Whereas in Vancouver, you really have to drive to Kelowna and Penticton.
4 hours.
You're going to spend 4 hours going to the next city, or you're going to take a ferry over to the island and get to Victoria, and that's, you know, going to take you half the day anyway.
It's really expensive too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So it's a very secluded place, and I think that kind of... I mean, that happens elsewhere in Canada. I mean, you hear of Winnipeg being a very isolated scene because it's, you know, they kind of have to be supportive because they're right in the middle of nowhere. And they kind of have a similar situation. I mean, there's a few other small cities in Manitoba, but I don't know. they're, you know.
9 hours to Saskatoon.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, just to close off, thanks for coming in. I mean, you're a great sport, and I just thought you kicked off, you know, sort of the coast-to-coast aspect of IndyCan, and I wanted to get you in here for sure.
Well, cool.
But we're going to play another tune of yours, but after that, we'll throw on a Lotus Child song, and I want you to play DJ and pick a song.
Oh, okay. I always like the Archaeologist tune.
Right.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, why do you like it?
It's got that totally kicking, dance rock chorus that kind of comes out of nowhere, and you're not expecting it. And then You know, it's funny when they play that song live because everyone's dancing at the chorus and it goes back to the verse, which is less danceable, and everyone kind of chills and waits, and then the chorus comes back and everyone's dancing again.
It's there's a juxtaposition there, an overused word, unfortunately, but yeah. But it's, there's something dark about the verses, right?
Yeah.
And it's all poppy.
Kind of kicks into this, like, you know, ridiculously catchy chorus thing going on. That's a good one.
Well, we'll get to that, but more Dan Mangan. And just again, thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thanks for having us,
yeah. Yeah, keep it going, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks
again. This last song is called Journal of a Narcoleptic, and thank you very much for IndyCan for hosting us. And
thanks, IndyCan.
Are we allowed to talk about XM as well? Thanks to XM for hosting IndyCan and being cool.
Thanks, XM.
And also to IndyCan for being very, very cool, and to Joe and to Steve on the board. The song's called Journal of a Narcoleptic.
Stay just as it is now for quite some time. The bottle stench may be here to stay, but you know, we had our fun. I keep waiting, wasting my time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it ain't easy. It ain't. Covers warm, but underneath the crumbs, not as pleasing. And the carpet stain, well, he found some friends, you know. Stains get lonely, and sometimes I'm sleeping. I'm still on my feet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it ain't easy. No, it ain't. Say it's not.
This is Dan Mangan, and you are listening to IndieCan Radio.
Hey, you, what'd you see with your scepter in hand? Deserted, it's returning to the wards now. Don't be scared now. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh.
Let's do Mike Sarah. Oh, Mike Sarah. Oh, babe. Oh, yeah. I know. Same way. Government, the rep.
peck, the leader, the freak, the conformist, the screamer. Hey, that's me. Let's go down to Washington, the mountains, the citadels, the place of detention, the literal, the visceral, all our good intentions. Get out of the car, run screaming through the cornfield. Out of the car, careening into a landfill. Get out of the car. That's a little slice of Americana. A peek at the soft underbelly. Slice of Americana. We've entered into some kind of unholy covenant with the government. Slice.
We're playing at Virgin Fest in Calgary on the 22nd, so that's another big step for us, which is pretty exciting. And we get to play with the same time, you know, the same day as the Matthew Good Band, or Matthew Good and the band, the Tragically Hip and the Flaming Lips are also playing that festival, and the
New
Constantines,
Pornographers.
New Pornographers, so all these bands that we love are also playing the festival. That's pretty exciting.
Our XM satellite friends are going to be there.
Awesome,
beautiful.
Awesome. So, love satellite radio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, keep an eye out for Jeff Leek and Kelowna.
Totally.
Okay, now one time for the fans. Again, who are you? Where do they find you online? How do they get your music?
And we're Said the Whale. We're from Vancouver, and you can find us MySpace / Said the Whale, and what else? SaidTheWhale.com.
SaidTheWhale.com.
And then a Facebook group.
Regular citizen life. Oh yeah.
You cannot break my secret agent heart ever again.
That was Vancouver Said the Whale. We caught up with them right after their Rivoli show on Saturday night at North by Northeast. They were playing with Toronto's Public, a bunch of other great bands. I had just met them. A lot of the Vancouver people I had met were steering me to check this band out, and I'm glad I did. And before that, Carol Pope, Getting Political on Us with Americana. That's from her independent CD, Transcend. Carol Pope and Kevin Staples helped kick off North by Northeast this year with a rough trade show, which included Hidden Cameras, Ember Swift. That was good, bad, and ugly, but mostly a night of true music magic. It was really something. But anyway, I go on and on about it on our website, IndieCan.com, so you can read about it there. But that was a delight to see that show, I got to tell you that. Before that, back to Vancouver with the Pack AD. This is a duo, female duo, very bluesy. Barry, did you hear that? Yes, you, Barry from Quebec City. Wouldn't this be a band you'd love to put on a bill with maybe Pat the White? And Jen in Ottawa, can't we get this band up for a Blues Fest in Ottawa one of these years? This is a great act, a lot of energy, and again, I was steered to see this act, and I was just blown away. Nice work. And before that, Lotus Child with Dan Mangan playing DJ. On Deck, we'll be previewing the Canadian Independent Recording Artist Association's The New Indie. Yeah, that's going to be an acronym really quick. The New Indie is just a think tank collection of what you need to know about music behind the scenes. It's the sort of stuff I love, and we'll have a little sample of that together. And from our website, you can link right to it and find out how to either get the podcasts, or maybe you can get a hold of the actual CDs themselves. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there if you consider yourself a student of the music business like I do. But before that, we're going to Saskatoon with the Bloodlines. Here's a band that will be playing at We Are Many Festival in Saskatoon. Toronto's own Sarah Burton is on the road now and will eventually end up there. She's helping to run it. I think she's going to play a couple of tunes or two while she's there. And this is the Bloodlines, something brand new called Radio Beacon. Here we go.
Assuming you haven't been living in a cave for the last few years, you're likely aware that the music industry is undergoing historic changes these days. Here's how Brian Heatherman puts it. He's the president of Cerberus Artist Management, Curve Music, and the president of the Music Managers Forum.
Well, it's funny. I mean, the new indie means something new to me every day, actually. I don't think a day goes by, or certainly a week goes by, that something doesn't change. At least once a week there's a giant bomb dropped on the industry with some new tidbit of information or technology change or company downsizing.
Now, some describe these bombs, as Brian puts it, as cataclysmic. Others call this a golden age. So, which one is it? Just like the lantern business before light bulbs or the horse and buggy business before automobiles, the record business was blissfully unaware of the consumer revolution that would be caused by file sharing on the internet. In less than one short decade, an entire multi-billion-dollar industry built on physical music sales has been threatened with extinction. From that viewpoint, it is cataclysmic. Yet, at the same time, today's musicians have unlimited opportunities to record music, to promote themselves, and to distribute their music to the entire planet. Artists can build relationships directly with their fans and have the freedom to grow independently. This is a golden age. The new indie's goal is to shed some light on all of these changes and to discover what's behind making a living making music these days. There are varied opinions and different philosophies, of course, but there are also very clear fundamentals emerging. We want to start our journey by introducing you to many of the guests that you'll be hearing on future episodes to get a feel for some of the things they'll be talking about. Here's Derek Sivers, the president of CD Baby.
You know, you hear a lot these days about the downturn of the music industry. And even some of these panels that we speak on at music conferences, the moderator will get up there and start the panel by saying, okay, so the entire music industry is going down the tube. Physical CD sales are down. Everything's down. Airplay is down. You can't get radio airplay. You can't get this. There's no exposure. How are we going to get ourselves out of this toilet? Derek from CD Baby, what's your answer? And I say, well, here in our land of the independents, things are going better than ever. Physical CD sales are up 50% or 100% or 30%. Digital distribution is up 1,000,000% because it didn't exist a few years ago. Artists are making more money than ever. They're getting more exposure than ever. They've got more reach. You can be an artist doing some obscure niche music. You can be doing an electronic tuba quartet, or you can write songs about surviving brain cancer, and you can find thousands of people that want to hear them around the world, whereas before you couldn't. So I kind of feel like, you know those stock charts where they show, they compare two companies. They say, here's Microsoft and here's Apple, and we're going to compare their two stocks. I kind of feel like the major labels are like that $100 stock that's dropped down to 90%. And the indies are like this little $1 stock down there at the very bottom that nobody even notices it. And it's climbed up to $5. So still nobody's talking about it because it's still off their radar. But the people that are down there with that $1 stock that went up to $5, they're thrilled.
So what are some of the causes behind this? Here's Louis Thomas, the president of Sonic Entertainment Group, which manages artists like Matt Mays and Great Big C.
Obviously, the reason it's thriving now is because distribution methods have essentially blown wide open. So, and through things like the internet, you can discover music from anywhere in the world, and you can essentially distribute it from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world, et cetera, and it's sort of, you know, it essentially all the filters are off and the access is completely wide open now. Most of the control that happened on the distribution level is gone away, or obviously about to go away.
Here's more from singer-songwriter Rob Szabo.
I've been making records for many years, and you know, when I started in the early 90s, you had to go to a big studio to get world-class product, and now people are getting great-sounding world-class records in their basements or in their home studios and whatever, so that's obviously really important. And the way to get it out there is really important because, you know, around 2000 or whatever, I remember trying to get stuff going with my website and trying to sell stuff to people online, and people weren't really picking up on it now. But now, you know, iTunes is a regular thing. Lots of indie artists are selling lots of stuff on iTunes and the whole MySpace thing and the way to get the word out, right? And if you're touring, you can really get the word out about yourself in lots of different ways, and it's exciting. I think I'm excited about it.
Making world-class records and having the power to distribute them to the planet from home has completely changed the playing field. Here's Wei Mason, the director of the Halifax Pop Explosion, on some of the effects.
Yeah, like new indie is, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Canada right now that's really exciting. And most of it, you know, the labels and managers and artists have a far greater degree of independence, I think, than they've ever had. With the kind of sales that they're having, going back to, you know, probably going back to when, you know, the last period in record in the record industry probably would have been like the 50s or 60s, when there would have been 25 major labels and like tons of minor labels that were actually able to make decent money. So I feel like the clock has been turned back in a great way. The independence and the autonomy and the control and the ownership of the intellectual property and the ownership of the publishing and things like that are definitely that the power has swung much more in the artist's favor.
More from Christy Thompson, who manages Xavier Rudd, Birds of Wales, and is the president of Thompson Management.
You know, when you think of the era of, you know, A&R people stepping in and completely artistically managing an artist's career, to bands now that can, you know, to a certain degree record and do artwork and have their marketing down and their websites managed and a whole, you know, MySpace, Facebook, you know, internet promotion running, all in the hands of the artist before they've even essentially brought partners on. It's so inspiring when you talk about, you know, the new indie, that it's really, to me, it sounds like embracing that change.
Denise Donlan, former president of Sony Music and former vice president of Much Music, lays out what she thinks it takes these days.
The new indie has got to be somebody who is inventive and aggressive and willing to put it all on the line, basically. I mean, the business these days is such a complete paradigm that unless you've got very innovative ideas and are willing just to sort of lay it all out there, I don't think you'll succeed. The business just isn't the same as it used to be, and it needs full-on dedication and commitment and passion, and not only belief in yourself, but a belief in your ability to navigate a virtually unknown world.
Let's hear from Mike McCarty, the president of EMI Music Publishing, on the good and the bad of today's new realities.
People can market themselves, because that's actually one of the rarest things and one of the most important things, I think, in a lot of success is people with great self-marketing skills. And especially in this era when the marketing is not stuck on you by the record company, that you really have to do it yourself. And that's the downside. That's the dark downside to all the potential that the internet brings. Yes, you can reach a billion people, you know, by putting up your website, but they have to know you exist and have to want to access you. And it's like there's nobody else to help you project yourself, you know, through the media other than you, if you're a do-it-yourself independent artist.
The new indie is about empowerment, autonomy, and possibilities. But all that power also shifts important responsibilities squarely into the hands of the artist. Yes, the good news is that independent artists can do great things on their own. The bad news is they have to do great things on their own. The days of sitting back and being discovered or blaming the man are behind us. Here's Bob Lefsetz, the writer of an influential music industry newsletter called The Lefsetz Letter.
Indie would apply outside the system. Okay, that there's a system you're rebelling against. And in the music business, the lunatics have already taken over the asylum. I mean, the institutions are crumbling. So I don't think it's so much about battling against those institutions, more like if you are an independent musician, how you're going to move forward. But it's not about battling against the system anymore.
Here's how Vancouver band Red Eye puts it.
Yeah, whereas before you might be, you know, looking for a label that was going to throw you a bunch of money and support you. These days, having a band it's always having a small business. That's essentially what you're doing. And it's going to remain a small business for a while, for the most part. Like, it starts at a very grassroots level, and you have to maintain it yourself, and you have to gather momentum and make it grow, like, pretty much, yeah. You know, by yourself within your own team until you've got enough momentum and exposure and a following that, you know, you can hopefully go up to the next level.
The next level. I don't know exactly what that is, but I hope there is one. I mean, a lot of what we heard was very optimistic about artists having control, about everything being in their hands. It just, I know three-time Juno winners that don't own a car. And I think what the music business needs is a middle class, people who can, you know, make a living as a full-time artist. And maybe that's coming. Maybe that's what this is all about. But I'm cautiously optimistic. But anyway, I really do like what they've put together here. And if you want to hear more about it, just go to IndieCan.com and we'll direct you accordingly. Well, that's about it for this week anyway. Next week, we're going to have more North by Northeast coverage. Just to change things up a little bit, we're going East Coast. This is Rebecca Higgs. She played the legendary Horseshoe Tavern Saturday night and had quite the ensemble. Anyway, this is from her, and keep the cards and letters coming. We'll be back next week.
For information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.